the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. On this Good Friday, as we meditate upon our Lord and Savior crucified, let us take a moment and consider the messages he left us while he was upon the cross. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. See, this God-man beaten within an inch of his death, his body racked and broken, and his flesh ripped and torn, now hanging on a cross of wood. He is innocent of any crime or sin, yet here he hangs. And what are the first words that echo from his mouth? Father, forgive them. But to whom is he speaking? It must be the Roman soldiers who are only doing what they are ordered. Or perhaps it is the people in the crowd who just 6 days ago were hailing him as Jesus, as King, who have been swayed by their religious leaders. Or could he be addressing those leaders, they who so vehemently want to see him gone? Yes, I think he is speaking to all of them, but there is yet another to whom he speaks. He speaks to me, for you see, I was there. I knelt over him with hammer and nail in hand and drove that spike home and would affix him to the cross. My sins carried me to Calvary just as surely as if I was there in flesh and blood. Oh, my Jesus, please, please forgive me. Amen, I say to you, this day thou shalt be with me in paradise. The thief hangs to Jesus' right on a cross of his own making. He is guilty of grave matter and deserves everything he's experiencing. Unlike so many of us, he sees his iniquity and faces up to it. He is getting his just due and accept it with humility. Then, turning toward Jesus, he asks for salvation. He asks to know this God-man for all eternity. Would we reply to his request as Jesus did? Or would we, in justice, damn him for eternity? What of each of us? Can we put aside our pride and go to our Lord and beg for forgiveness and ask for the pearl of great price? Be assured, my sisters and brothers, that if you will do this in all humility and repentance, he will grant you the same great gift he bestowed upon the good thief. Woman, behold thy son. Son, behold thy mother. Why did our Lord, as he was in agony and dying, think to give us this gift of his mother? Certainly, Mary, being a widow, would need someone to care for her after Jesus had left, and that would be the apostle he loved most. But to give her all of mankind as a mediatrix between God and man, to give her to his church as its protectress, to give her to us as an advocate both now in this world and at the hour of our death, what an unforeseen and wonderful gift. As our mother, we can always confide in her. And as the mother of God, she stands beside the Almighty to intercede for us. Jesus foresaw our need and took this moment to fulfill it. For you see, the cross was and always is about the other, what they need and seeing that they receive it. Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani. That is, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Has Jesus finally succumbed to despair under this terrible torture, physical and mental? Has his humanity gotten the upper hand? Does he finally see the vast number of the Father's creations who will turn away from God and make this ultimate sacrifice all for naught in their case? On the surface, it would seem that way, but the scribes and Pharisees would see something else in these words. They are the beginning for a verse 22 of Psalm 22, a psalm of trust in God, a psalm that sees God's love for man and is a message for all who hear that this is not the end. Far from it. If you would wait just a few days more, you would see the majesty of this selfless act. The Jewish leaders may have felt that they had won, but these words shout out, stay tuned. there is much more to come. I thirst. His body, nearly drained of all its lifeblood, hanging in the scorching sun for hours. No wonder our precious Lord is thirsty. But this is not a plea for water or even for cheap wine. No, Jesus is telling us much more. He is pleading with us to come to him. As he hangs upon this tree, he looks out over all of time and calls to each of us. I thirst for your soul. I thirst to see you, each of you in heaven with us, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. I am doing this for you. Please realize this and give me your promise to satisfy my plea. Promise me that you will slake my thirst, that you will be my faith-filled and faithful adopted brothers and sisters. For it is for you, for your very souls, that I thirst. It is consummated. It is finished. I have come into the world to do the Father's will, and now I have done it. The gates to paradise were locked, closed to mankind, and now they will be opened once again. Sin has no hold on my beloved, and death has no real meaning in a world of eternal love. I have walked among you, my brothers and sisters. I have left you words and actions to teach you how to guarantee your return home. I have given you directions for the journey, and I have left you with food and drink for that journey. All that the Father has asked of me, I have given. Yes, it truly is over. It truly is finished. Father, into your hands I commend my spirit. The time of trial, the time of torture, the time of agony is complete. The Father's work has been done. It is completed in the most gruesome yet most wonderful manner. There remains but one final act. Jesus looks heavenward. He gazes one last time toward home and speaks directly to his Father. Father, I have given my all as you demanded. I have given it for you and for your other children. I have given the last drop of my life's blood. I have fulfilled all the Spirit had prophesied. It is time, and now that they may know to whom I go, I say these final words. Father, into your hands I commend my spirit. I am on my way and will be there soon. He hung upon the cross, broken and bleeding, dying, because he wanted us to be in communion with him, and he knew that in this world gone wrong, there could be no communion without sacrifice. And thus he made for us the greatest sacrifice the world would ever know. May God bless you.